Welcome to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. Sheldon Suga's office looks like any other office for a person in his position. He runs a business with over 200 employees in the Florida Keys. Walking into his office, on your left is his desk. On the right is a small conference table with six chairs. The office has a mix of personal items and the type of art you would expect to find in an executive's office in the Keys, art of fishing, boating, the water. Hanging up on the wall right next to the doorway is something that could pass for a coat rack, only this is South Florida where we don't need a coat rack. It is a rack to hang medals that runners receive when they finish races. And Suga has a lot of medals hanging up, medals from 5K races, the run across the 7-mile bridge, and marathons. And behind the medals is a painted quote from a famous runner.
You read that to me?
To give anything less than your best is to sacrifice the gift.
And who said that?
Steve Prefontaine.
Prefontaine was a top American long-distance runner who helped inspire the running boom in the 1970s. Suga hasn't been running that long. A friend of his got him into running when he lived in Tokyo in the 1990s.
I'm guessing you have collected these medals. Is that right?
I have. I've done 13 marathons, and I don't remember how many half marathons. So, and this is what it is. I mean, this whole time we were looking at this has been a marathon, and it's the last days is when you have to really reach down deep and say, okay, we've got to bring it to the table, and we'll start the next race the day we open.
And for Sheldon Suga, that day came at the end of August when the Hawks K Resort reopened after almost a year of repairs and renovations brought on because of Hurricane Irma. It's been a year now since the storm made landfall in the Lower Keys as a Category 4 storm with maximum winds of 132 miles per hour and a storm surge of up to 9 feet. Just 6 miles down the overseas highway sits the hotel Rachel Stevens owns and runs with her mom, the White Sands Inn. She was waiting for a call from Home Depot when we visited in early August.
Where we're standing now, we're looking out at the ocean, and this used to be my office, and it is now currently a tool shed for the contractors that are rebuilding us. And when you would arrive, you would come into the office, and out back here, where each room would have a little setup outside their doors, a place for them to sit, enjoy the view. And to the left was the pool. It's still there. It just doesn't have water in it right this moment.
It's because the work continues. While her larger corporate-owned neighbor, Hawks K, has reopened, Stevens continues working on fixing up her hotel. The first floor was washed out entirely by Irma, the waves taking the furniture and furnishings, ruining the drywall, plumbing, and electrical systems.
The water just came through and took everything, including the drywall and the toilets and everything, out. So when we came back here, it was bare walls and down to the concrete, and a few of the doors were still attached. I don't believe there was any windows left, not even air conditioners in the walls.
No guests in the past year means no income. There has been some insurance money coming in, other assistance and help from neighbors, friends, and past guests. For small, locally owned companies, it's a familiar story in the year since Irma in the middle and lower Keys. A little further down the overseas highway, Captain Brian Brannigan has fixed up his mobile home in the Avenues neighborhood of Big Pine Key, one of the hardest hit areas. Irma tore through the neighborhood, ripping roofs off and peeling back walls of mobile homes that line the roads. He's repaired his mobile home, and his boat charter business is bouncing back.
Fortunately, work's been great for June and July. It was super busy, like previous years. And, you know, more people are hearing about us, and I'm getting calls from Key West people that are visiting, and I used to not get that because that's 30, 35 miles away. But now they're coming and calling as well.
Brian considers himself lucky. He and his wife had a boat to call home while they fixed up their mobile home. Others haven't. Almost 1,200 homes and businesses were destroyed because of Irma in Monroe County. Another 3,000 suffered major damage. Over 37,000 structures up and down the chain of islands were affected by Irma, according to Monroe County. 1 year after the storm, Monroe County is waiting for $90 million of federal money promised to help rebuild and repair damage and help better protect the Keys from future storms. And only a handful of homes considered destroyed by Irma have actually been torn down. Still to come, how the storm is remaking some of the housing stock in the Keys and how it isn't.
This storm impact will basically thrust us into a more modern housing stock after rebuilding, the vulnerability will be far less for us.
This is the Sunshine Economy 1 year after Hurricane Irma. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. In November, only about 2 months after Irma hit the Florida Keys, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development gave the green light to over $600 million to help long-term recovery in the Sunshine State. The money is to be shared by 10 counties. A minimum of $90 million is set aside for Monroe County alone. In late June, HUD Secretary Ben Carson officially approved Florida's disaster recovery plan to spend the money. The plan earmarks most of Monroe County's promised allotment to fix up, elevate, or replace older homes that don't meet current building codes. By late August, none of that money had made its way to the Keys.
We are hopeful that we will see, at least by early 2019, one home reconstructed in one of those programs.
That's Christine Hurley. She's an assistant Monroe County administrator. She oversees the building department for the county.
So what's frustrating for the citizens are they're either in temporary housing or some of them stayed in their housing with assistance to rebuild a rudimentary improvement, and they're waiting. They're waiting for assistance. Timing is the most frustrating part of this.
So as we're here almost a year since Irma came through the Lower Keys, what you're saying is you're hopeful by 18 months after the storm, the federal dollars that were allocated through the state will finally begin flowing to help repair and renovate and rebuild?
100% I'm saying that.
As of August, the State Department of Economic Opportunity has access to the funds. In a statement to WLRN, the agency says it will begin community outreach and post information online about how homeowners can apply for the grants in coming weeks. The agency's director of communications, Tiffany Voss, describes it as the number one priority. Monroe County hopes to use most of that federal money to repair or rebuild 300 homes, elevating them above flood level and making them compliant with the Keys' current stringent building standards. Under the proposed plan, other money will go toward buying two mobile home parks and building new rental housing managed by the county's housing authority as affordable housing units. Meantime, more than 90% of property insurance claims filed because of Irma in the Keys have been closed, according to the state of Florida. About a third of those closed, with the homeowner getting no money from the insurance company.
Most people have their insurance money. They're trying to decide what to do. It's maybe not enough to make them whole. And so these programs that will provide the last link to recovery and replacement and reconstruction have to fall together. We have lost citizens. We have lost workforce. I don't know if you've driven the Keys, but there's so many help wanted signs, it's unbelievable.
The two signs that I see up and down the overseas highway, help wanted and unlicensed contract work is illegal in Monroe County. You're smiling and nodding at that one.
Yeah, those are my signs that we put out.
Do you consider it a delay of the federal dollars coming into Monroe County through the state?
Not when I read the regulations on how the money has to be used. So it's designed with timelines, and I don't think it's a delay based on how the program works in the first place.
That includes eligibility requirements, a study of how the proposed projects help an area recover for the long term, and financial safeguards. 1 year after Irma, 228 demolition permits for homes and buildings that were destroyed or heavily damaged have been filed. Over 2,200 structures were considered destroyed or heavily damaged, though, in unincorporated Monroe County. So paperwork to tear down fewer than one out of every 10 badly damaged buildings has been submitted to the county's building department 1 year later. If it costs just over half of a home's value to fix it, it is considered destroyed under Monroe County rules. Most of the homes that have been torn down have not been replaced. Since the storm, only 27 applications have been submitted to build new single-family homes, only three for mobile homes.
So that's a big gap between what demolished and what's got replacement housing. The other thing I see is overall in unincorporated Monroe County, there's been 465 demos and only 78 replacements. So
that's a lot of people without homes any longer.
Exactly. So we do have a loss of permanent housing. It's not huge. Keys wide, we have about 55,000 total units. And my numbers are only for unincorporated, not the cities. But if that's applicable as a model, then of the 5,000 units that were destroyed, you know, 5% is maybe rebuilt. I think it's going to take personally 3 to 5 years to get these structures rebuilt. And the only great news is, or a silver lining, they'll be more resilient. And in the next storm, because I know there will be one, they won't end up in this situation. I can't see us promoting substandard housing like mobile homes anymore as vulnerable as we are.
That's been a controversial statement over the last year. You know that. And so the message to those neighborhoods that were most impacted by this were those communities in Big Pine Key and the Torches and Cudjoe and those Lower Keys area where the mobile home has been on those properties in some cases 30, 40 years.
Absolutely. It gave me chill bumps to say it out loud, actually. But after seeing the damage assessments that were done by our department, looking at picture after picture of what happened to people's lives, we can only look forward to promote resilient housing.
Now, the county has put out to bid a project to build 4 tiny modular homes on county-owned land. The homes would serve as prototypes for what it calls, quote, affordable workforce housing. Hurley hopes to have these tiny home examples up by early next year for people to check out and consider building them where mobile homes once stood in the Keys. And some of that money to help build those homes is expected to come from the federal money the county is now waiting for.
A lot of our housing stock was built in the 70s and 80s before we regulated growth, which came in the 90s. And because that stock is so old, because we don't allow a lot of new construction, I know a lot of people might disagree, but I can visualize that this storm impact will basically thrust us into a more modern housing stock. And I think after rebuilding, the vulnerability will be far less for us. So maybe government employees and citizens don't have to be in the same situation. God forbid the storm comes before 5 or 6 years, but that's what I view as the goal.
Do you think it will be able to retain the authentic nature that makes the Keys the Keys?
I think it will, but it'll mostly be on stilts.
Monroe County Assistant Administrator and head of the Keys Building Department, Christine Hurley. She says they have gotten international interest in efforts to build tiny homes in Monroe County. The county's request to see those plans from builders to construct the tiny homes, at least the prototypes, it's due later this month. Still to come as our program continues here on the Sunshine Economy, 1 year after Hurricane Irma, reopening one of the largest hotels in the Keys while struggling to find workers.
We've been very creative in the way we're going out to find people. I think we've created an incentive just this week of rewarding someone who finds someone to work here. And for the people they find, we're also going to put them on an incentive to stay.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Sheldon Suga likes to smoke cigars, fish, and run. He says he doesn't smoke much because his wife is a nurse, and he says he hasn't had much time to go fishing or running either. He's been leading the $50 million reconstruction of Hawks Cay Resort. It's one of the largest hotels in the Florida Keys with 177 rooms and 250 rental villas. And it got walloped by Hurricane Irma.
Well, when I first walked back into the property after the storm, it was covered in water. We had mold on the walls. I mean, it was just, it was kind of heartbreaking when you walked.
You're motioning almost to waist level water here.
I don't know how deep. I know that you couldn't walk here in your shoe. It was over your shoes. So I can't imagine how high it was during the storm.
We were walking through the new lobby at the resort just a day before it reopened in late August. Workers were still busy painting, caulking, and installing televisions in one of the resort's bars. The storm surge swamped the property. It lies right on the Atlantic, after all. Its guest rooms and pool just feet from the ocean. Its lagoon, part of it. It was hit hard by Irma, costing the hotel 11 months of business and costing the Keys hundreds of jobs. In the first 6 months of this year, the closing of Hawks Cay meant the loss of about $30 million in revenue, according to a federal financial filing of the resort's parent company, Cary Watermark Investors. We talked about the resort's business while we walked around the property with managing director Sheldon Suga.
We're leaving the lobby out to the pool area here.
So this is our main resort pool, and we refer to it as a family pool. See, we have a communal fire pit out here. In the distance just beyond, we have a tiki hut and tiki grill, so you can sit outside around there for lunch and dinner.
Not exactly an infinity pool, but you don't need it because just beyond is the Atlantic Ocean.
Exactly right. And it's just a breathtaking view from here, and we get to see it every day.
So describe this to me a year ago after the storm.
Well, the pool was entirely black. You know, you could tell that it had filled with debris, salt water. Of course, it was just bare. We had trees down, everything. I don't think there was anything green out here at all. And now you can see the lushness of the landscaping coming back.
So, I mean, there are scores and scores of palm trees right now, but this was, you're saying the storm Irma scrubbed this clean.
It scrubbed it, but, you know, it was amazing that many of these palm trees survived, you know, with nothing on top, and all of a sudden they're all back again.
For the property, what does this represent?
Well, this is our signature. This is when you walk out here. This is where first-timers step out here and go, oh, my goodness, there's the ocean right in front of you. And there's an energy that's created here with all the guests out here at the pool.
This is the real economic engine for the resort,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely. And it, you know, again, it's adjoined by our adult pool right here around the corner. And you can't see it from here, but we'll take a few more steps and be able to oversee our saltwater lagoon.
Let's take a look. All right, paint the picture here.
Paint the picture here. Well, we've got a saltwater lagoon with, you know, tiki huts on there, surrounded by the Atlantic Ocean. It's certainly, the Keys aren't known for beaches, so this is kind of like our own private beach here.
Describe this in the week after Irma when you came back to the property.
Well, there was a 39-foot boat that somehow made it into this lagoon, which the U.S. Coast Guard had to remove for us. And a lot of debris in the water.
When you returned to the Keys, Sheldon, take me back to that moment when you came back on property. What were you anticipating, and how did that compare with what you actually experienced?
Well, you know, watching the news reports, you know, kind of gave you a little bit of insight of what to expect. You know, we flew down by helicopter a couple days after the storm. And what was amazing, you know, we saw the devastation, but we saw thousands and thousands of birds. I mean, this is just a couple days after, as we flew over the Everglades, and say, you know, where did they come from? So that was, you know, a positive sign. But coming back here and stepping out here, I guess you're in shock, and it takes a few days actually for it to impact it. You realize that things aren't the same. But then, you know, nature and, you know, God provides us with this incredible landscape, and all of a sudden you start to see buds coming out of trees 3 days after the storm. It's just unbelievable.
And how does occupancy look like for the months ahead?
Well, you know, as we transition through, you know, we feel that we're pretty quiet for the first month, but then all of a sudden we're starting to see very strong late fall and heading into next year.
Does that give you some encouragement for the high season?
Very, very encouraging for the high season.
I know in the hotel industry, there's the RevPAR, the revenue per available room. What's that look like for you?
Well, I think we're going to remain relatively flat, you know, maybe up a point or two, but relatively flat.
Is that seen as a win or a loss given the last year?
I think it's a very positive win based on that we've been closed for a year.
As you've worked with ownership and you've modeled out over the next couple of years, what does that look like for you here?
We do see growth.
And where's it coming from?
It's coming from, you know, Florida continues to sustain us. You know, Florida's got a very healthy economy. So we see that, and we see, you know, the efforts of, you know, the governor and certainly with Visit Florida promoting the state. So we've seen that positive impact, and we're very optimistic about the next few years.
We know hurricanes are a fact of life here in the Keys. How is the resort positioned if and when?
You know, that's a difficult question. You know, are you ever ready? And, you know, there's different categories. I mean, this resort's always survived. You know, it's been here for over 50 years, and it's still here. I think you find success in life, you find success in your career by just being optimistic and always looking forward, never looking back. And so I think that's what brought us here to today. We keep looking forward.
And that future depends partly on finding the people to work at Hawks Cay. Like a lot of businesses in the Keys, it has had a tough time finding workers. Hurricane Irma cost a lot of people their homes in the Keys. Some who left for the storm never came back. Others returned only to leave again. Monroe County has one of the lowest unemployment rates among Florida counties, just 3.2% in July. That's actually higher than before the storm. And there are fewer people in the workforce in the Keys compared to before Irma. The labor force in Monroe County was 11% smaller this past July versus a year ago. It is the biggest percentage drop in the workforce among Florida's counties, and it represents more than 5,400 fewer people who are available and interested in working in the Florida Keys. It also represents a big challenge for a big employer like Hawks Cay. It has about 250 people working there now, and that swells to 350 during the peak season. The resort laid off almost its entire staff 6 weeks after the storm. They had been paid and benefits recovered during those weeks, but Managing Director Sheldon Suga says it didn't financially make sense to continue. We talked with Suga inside his office about how the resort is competing for workers now to come back.
We hired back initially 50 people. We kept 50 on the payroll and then started to add to that. We found them work with the restoration team. We placed individuals throughout the country at different properties. And so at the end of the day, we were able to either employ or help out around 180 of our staff.
Of the staff that you had prior to Irma, how many of those have returned?
I would say that we've been able to retain about 40%, 40 to 45% of our original team. The great thing is, on a management side, we are actually up in around 85%.
So the higher paying jobs, most of those folks were able to come back.
Yes.
Gotcha.
We've been very creative in the way we're going out to find people. I think we've created an incentive just this week of rewarding someone who finds someone to work here. And for the people they find, we're also going to put them on an incentive to stay.
Could you share with what those incentives look like and what those kind of rewards, the recruiting rewards look like?
Right. Well, as we're sitting here today, we have, if someone refers someone to a line position, it's $500 if the person stays for 6 months. And the person that gets hired, if they stay for at least 6 months, they receive $500. And for the next 45 days, we have a special kicker for the person who finds a new employee, that at the 9 month mark, they'll get an additional $500.
So for a worker here today at the resort, if they recruit somebody else to come work and they're still working 9 months later, they'll have $1,000 and the person who came to work will have an extra $500.
Exactly, that's right. So, I mean, you know, and some of them are the wheels are spinning. They're trying to figure that out.
Have you had to go back and revisit salaries and wages?
Yeah, that we did. In fact, we were in the process of doing that anyways.
And what kind of decisions were made around personnel costs as you were looking to bring those workers back to be able to staff the resort?
Well, I think we realistically looked at that there would be an additional cost. But it was also maintaining the things that we do here. On a benefit side, we certainly looked at, we maintain and we give a duty meal. You know, we have a staff cafeteria called the Galley. And so we definitely need to get that back online quickly.
So workers will eat for free.
Yes. And then on the positive side, we didn't cut our training expense. We've invested heavily into training, and we continued to do that throughout the year. And that didn't take we didn't put that on the side at all. And it's usually a lot of businesses will go, okay, let's cut the training expense. And then we just said we can't do that.
Talk to me about how you address this directly with wages.
I know that HEI did a local survey in the Keys of all positions.
HEI is the property management company that runs Hawks Cay for its owner. It manages dozens of hotels across the country, including 9 in Florida.
And so we did, and we had to bring some up. And fortunately, nothing significant. So we were right in market. So that was a positive sign. So we didn't look at that as a major financial impact.
So on the employee pay side, the focus appears to be on kind of one-time bonuses to try to encourage folks to attract employees, essentially.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So as you move to reopening, do you consider the resort back to 100% on the anniversary of Hurricane Irma?
You know, it's hard to gauge because, you know, what is 100%? You know, I think resorts like ours are always a work in progress. You know, there's, especially being a seaside resort.
Sheldon Suga, managing director of Hawks Cay Resort on Duck Key. Still to come, we travel a few miles down the overseas highway, closer to where the eye of Hurricane Irma came ashore in the Keys, to hear how one local small hotel owner has been balancing the work to get her business back with a new role. Motherhood.
I paid myself out of the hotel. My mom lived off of the hotel, and we basically have been nickel and diming off of the insurance money to survive.
This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and supporting WLRN. Life changed for Rachel Stevens just after Hurricane Irma. Now, sure, the storm wiped out the hotel she owns with her mom near mile marker 57 on Grassy Key. It's just 36 miles east of where Irma's eye made landfall 1 year ago. She knew her two properties next door to one another suffered a lot of damage, but she learned something else while she was making her way back to the Keys after the storm.
Well, the daughter was a surprise. We've been trying for a while, but apparently she's a hurricane baby. And I found out on the way back from evacuating.
Rachel was pregnant with her first child, and she was coming back to a disaster area to see what was left of her livelihood.
I also found out that the hospital in town was damaged, and I needed to do a blood test and test to make sure that I was actually pregnant before coming back to an area. So I had to stop along the way to find that out. And at the same time, you're still trying to absorb the information of what we're about to go and see.
I met Rachel outside her hotel in early August as a few construction workers were rebuilding it. She has owned and operated the hotel with her mom for 19 years. The main hotel, called the White Sands Inn, is small. It's a concrete block construction, 2 floors, 7 rooms, and a manager's apartment. It is about 100 yards off the overseas highway and was surrounded by sand. 2 rooms facing south are just 15 feet from the ocean's edge. Next door is a home available for weekly rentals. It has 2 units and a pool. It is set back a little farther from the Atlantic with a yard to hold outdoor events.
Where we're standing now, we're looking out the ocean, and this used to be my office, and it is now currently a tool shed for the contractors that are rebuilding us. And when you would arrive, you would come into the office, and out back here, where each room would have a little setup outside their doors, a place for them to sit, enjoy the view. And to the left was the pool. It's still there. It just doesn't have water in it right this moment.
We're looking out on to the Atlantic Ocean. The Gulf Stream is a few miles south of us here. First floor looks like you've got that gutted out down to the blocks.
Thanks to Hurricane Irma, she pretty much did that for us. We didn't really have to take too much out of this building because she took everything out for us. And the water just came through and took everything, including the drywall and the toilets and everything, out. So when we came back here, it was bare walls and down to the concrete, and a few of the doors were still attached. I don't believe there was any windows left, not even air conditioners in the walls.
When you made that bend, turned that corner on the Overseas Highway, mm-hmm. and came up here to mile 57, mile 58, and you saw the property and you pulled in for the first time after the storm, tell me what that was like, what that moment was like.
Well, I had seen pictures of it about 2 weeks prior online. Gentleman who was going up and down the Keys was taking pictures of different properties and putting it on Facebook, so I had seen pictures of it. But when we pulled in the opposite manner, pictures did not do it justice. you can think that you see what you need to do on film or on the computer, but when you pull in and actually see it in life, it's so much more three-dimensional and a whole lot worse than you expected it to be. I mean, there was bedspreads wrapped up in trees, and there was box springs wrapped up in trees, and just stuff everywhere, and a lot of things are missing. Still never found a lot of things, you know. According to the engineer for the flood insurance company, they decided that the waves through here were 9 to 10 feet high. They ran apparently all the way across US 1. We lost an entire tool shed that was hurricane strapped to the ground. I've never found that part. Our beach has now been moved out to the parking lot, so to say. we're all still here, so.
You're here and you're reinvesting in the property. Renovating it, obviously. You can hear some of the workers work today as we talk. It's been almost a year since the storm. Tell me about the process, the decisions that you've had to make in terms of your business.
First, you had to decide what we're going to do, whether we're rebuilding or not rebuilding. Out of the 6 hotels in this little line here, there's only 2 of us that appear to be trying to rebuild. A lot of them are trying to sell. There's a lot of people that were looking to buy property down here. We didn't feel that we could get what we wanted to get out of the property. My mom still wants to be down here and have a little piece of paradise. So we decided that we'll rebuild it and make our paradise better. In my head, we were always going to stay. The real estate agents brought through lots of people that would want to buy it, and nickel and dime you, try and bring you down or try and say, oh, we'll give you a little bit more or something like that. And every time that would happen, my mom would sit and do numbers. And I said, we have other things to do. Every time something like that would happen, it's put the brakes on and consider whether you want to, do you really want to keep it? Do you really want to sell it? So that was like an emotional turmoil every single time somebody would come up with something or come on the property and want to look around. And everything takes so much time. Somebody wants to look at the property and I have to show them around. It's a good couple hour event. And then they're seeing it in its worst state. They didn't see it in its best state. So they have no idea that, I'm a positive thinker. So in my head, I see everything silver and gleaming. I'm like, it really wasn't, this isn't that bad. We can do it. You don't have to tear it down. It can be rebuilt. And then every little dollar that gets spent in how you're going to spend it and what way you're going to spend it in, and did the insurance give you enough money? And when you're putting something back, did the insurance pay us for that? I should go back and check it out. And it's extremely trying. The other main part for us is this was our income. We don't have any income. And I paid myself out of the hotel. My mom lived off of the hotel, and we basically have been nickel and diming off of the insurance money to survive. I can't go get a job elsewhere because I need to be here running everything here. And every single thing is an emotional thing for us because it's our personal place. It's not, you know, like working for someone else. It's our personal place. So it's just little, just the everyday life things that's the, I guess, the most emotional trying feat. And you really want to get it to the finish point, but it, you have no control over it, you know.
So what does the time frame look like for you?
Well, that's one of those things that's very frustrating as well. It's one of my emotional problems for the year is because I thought that, for instance, that building would be open by February, and then I thought it'd be open by July. So I did take some customers for July, had to cancel them as well. So I decided I'm not saying a date anymore. Because every time I say a date or take a reservation, something happens and someone stops coming to work. But I'm hoping for a fall opening, somewhere in the fall, so that we can, you know, do our soft opening and be ready for season, which would be starting in December. So I'm hoping for September, October, somewhere in that range.
How confident are you that the visitors will come back?
I think they'll come back. They've already, they've been coming back. The traffic's been here. Key West was really good about staying open. I do a little side bartending job, and so I get to see what the restaurants bring in and that type of thing. And I would say it's a little slower than it usually is, but there's still people coming. And a lot of people have come and actually said, chokes me up, that they wanted to give to the community, so they came back. And I really love that about the people and the planet, you know, when they see somewhere that's hurt and aren't scared to come back and, you know, not Google at us or whatever, but come back and actually, you know, spend their money and give back to the small communities.
Rachel Stevens has been rebuilding her business while she's become a mom. She had a daughter in late May.
Being pregnant during this adventure was stressful in itself also, because I'm trying to enjoy that, but it's really hard when you're trying to go through all of this. And, you know, even going to buy stuff or to get stuff, you know, for having the baby. I don't have that income and whatnot. And the community here was really, really great with, I actually had 3 baby showers, and I got almost everything that I needed through the community and friends and other business owners and stuff like that. And the biggest thing that I learned was to say thank you, because I had a hard time accepting stuff, you know. You know, it's easy to give, but when somebody gives back to you, it's really hard to accept it. So
how's it look up there?
All I kept trying to do is enjoy, okay, I'm going to take, you know, today and enjoy that I'm pregnant or that we're having a baby or things like that. And without her happening, I think that we would have had a harder time. Is like give us all something to look, you know, to work for, a reason to. There's times that my mom was extremely stressed out and didn't think she could do it. And I said, you have a grandbaby coming, you have to. So without her, I don't know if we would have made it or if we would have ended up selling or something in between, you know. And we actually brought her home. from the hospital on the day of first day of hurricane season. So she's a hurricane baby all around.
And her name is not Irma. Rachel Stevens named her daughter Isla Ray. Still to come, returning to Big Pine Key 1 year after the storm.
It was worse than touch and go for the first 6 months. You know, when a hurricane hits, you are returning to the mother of all recessions. You know, it's way beyond the Great Recession. This is like the bottom's going to fall out.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. When we first met Brian Brannigan on Big Pine Key, it was early December. He lives in the Avenues neighborhood. It's one of the hardest hit by Hurricane Irma. He runs a boat charter for sport fishing, kayaking, and snorkeling. Now, Brannigan's mobile home was not destroyed by the storm, but when we were there 10 months ago, the screened-in porch was filled with stuff he salvaged from the home. We had to meet outside on the patio. When I returned in August, some debris still littered areas along the narrow roads in the neighborhood. Some places where there were mobile homes were vacant.
Brian. Hey, it's Tom Hudson. How are you?
Fine.
Mind if I come in?
Not at all, please.
Thanks for your time. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Things have changed a little bit since last time I was down here.
His screened-in porch had been repaired. The furniture was back, pictures and bicycles hung from the side of the mobile home. When Irma came, Brannigan had just finished renovating his house. The storm wiped it all out. Inside, he's redone the kitchen, two bedrooms, and bathroom. He's rebuilt his fence outside, spending hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars bringing back his home.
Well, it's been quite a year. That's an understatement. And hurricanes wipe you out emotionally and financially and physically. I think ultimately you learn that, you know, you just have too much stuff and you don't need it, and there's a lot of freedom in getting rid of that stuff, but you just, maybe you would not have chosen to get rid of it the way you're forced to after a hurricane. And it's just relentless. You're just bringing things to the street and out to the street and out to the street, and it's just appliances and vehicles, and you know, you're just wondering when the tide's going to change, when you can start fixing things up. But it's been a long journey, and one that now, 1 year later, just about, is definitely at the 90% completion mark. So, you know, it's just a little bit to go, but we're really happy that we recovered it all, because some people were unable to.
As you've gone through the journey in the last year, have you ever had any second thoughts about staying?
No, I haven't, because there's a couple of my criteria for living here is that as long as it remains challenging, educational, interesting, if I feel like I'm still moving forward, you know, my job's not done with living here. We have a great little spot. It's super humble. It's like a little fish camp, but it's also, for the Florida Keys, very affordable. It's just a mobile home, and it's a very affordable way to live. So I never really considered leaving, but also because my business is, I'm pretty invested in, you know, a bunch of kayaks and a bunch of paddleboards, and it's like, wow, we still have way too much stuff. But I want to see that investment at least, you know, pay for itself.
I remember when we spoke out on the patio in December, you also talked about the realization of how much stuff you had, and especially when it came to your business and the boat tours and the fishing tours and snorkeling and paddleboard and kayaks. And you were kind of doing this mental inventory as you've worked through that. How has business been? Has it come back for you?
Well, it was worse than touch and go for the first 6 months. You know, when a hurricane hits, you are returning to the mother of all recessions. You know, it's way beyond the Great Recession. This is like the bottom's going to fall out. The first 6 months, we were just completely out of work, no income. And that was okay, because I didn't have time to work. I had to take all this stuff to the street, and I had to get plywood, and I got to know everyone at Home Depot by name. And, you know, it's just this insane, arduous, non-ending daily cycle, week after week, month after month. And so I didn't have time to work, but fortunately, work's been great for June and July. I was super busy like previous years.
Brian Brannigan says he has spent a few thousand dollars fixing up his mobile home, landscaping, and fence, work that was almost done as the first anniversary of Irma approached.
I love our little place, and I love just the design of it. The challenge for the rebuild for me, how can I turn this little rectangular metal box into something kind of interesting on the interior, you know, and make it look like a I don't want to say condo, but just like comfortable living place. And we've been able to do that.
How'd you pay for the repairs?
Oh, that's a very good question because, didn't expect to get emotional at all. Really surprises me. But anyway, we lost our home. We were penniless, you know. And fortunately, we had a boat that we could live on down in Stock Island near Key West. And that was really a good fortune for us. And eventually, you know, we had family and friends just do some amazing things, help us out. We started a You Caring page. It's very similar to GoFundMe and any of those things that I've never done before, but I just put it out there. And I happened to grow up in an amazing neighborhood where I didn't realize how many friends I had or, you know, close friends I had until we all went on a canoeing trip together and there were 75 canoes and there was two people in a canoe. And I was like, God, I have 150 friends. And that was like amazing. And many of those 150 friends saw what happened to me and they contributed. And I guess it's still emotional. It's really moving. And so that helped. And then we were able to sell our liveaboard boat. Yes, just the love and support of family, friends, and the very good fortune of being able to sell that liveaboard boat got us to break even and just a little bit above there. So that's how we kind of made it back. We've never had a lot of money, and a lot of there's different levels of success and different levels of people that live here, and we're just in that place where we owe nothing. But we're not in debt, and we have a little. But I guess, you know, we fall into the category of where one major disaster, or whether it be natural or medical, away from, you know, a problem. I don't think much about the year anniversary because, let's face it, you know, August just got here, and September and October, and these are the months where something hurricane-like will happen. So you just hope for the best and, you know, and pray.
Speaking with Brian Brannigan in the screened-in porch of his mobile home on Big Pine Key, almost 1 year since Hurricane Irma. You can follow us on Twitter at WLRN. Also look for a podcast of this program by searching Sunshine Economy on iTunes. Pilar Uribe is our technical director. Polly Landis helps with coordinating guests. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.